Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, have you ever heard the term Atlas Copco? Never heard of it? Well, you're going to hear all about it today on our Straight Talk program. We have two gentlemen with us. The company president, Robert Eshelman, is with us. And Paul Humphreys, who's the vice president of communications. Gentlemen, welcome to Straight Talk here on WRHI.
Thank you very much, Manny. Glad to be here.
Yeah, good afternoon.
I like that. See that? Say that again now.
Good afternoon.
Oh, we like that good old Southern accent. Okay. So let's start with the Southern boy over here. Paul, tell us a little bit about you, if you would.
So as I think you've picked up on already, I'm originally from a small country called the United Kingdom. So
the mother country.
Just outside London. So been in the U.S. With a little break for the last 15 years. Been with Atlas Copco for 23 years, so very happy to be here talking to you about them today. And worked in lots of the different business areas, and currently, working in communications based here in Rock Hill, looking after the whole of the U.S.
How about that? Do you miss England?
I don't miss the weather on days like this. I mean, it's beautiful, isn't it? You know, they say, do you get days like this in England? I say, absolutely. If you add up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you get this temperature.
All right, Robert Eshelman, let's see if you can top that. Tell us about you.
I'm a local guy. I was born in Winston-Salem, in that state just north of here, and I went to Georgia Tech, and my dad had a business that he sold compressed air equipment. So we were distributors in North and South Carolina for this company called Atlas Copco. And in 2006, Atlas Copco does a lot of acquisitions of distributors and a lot of other companies, but they approached us in 2006, my dad and my brother and I, about acquiring our business, and it's worked out great, and I've been with the company working directly since then. And 5 years ago, was fortunate enough to become president of our U.S. operation, sales and service for Atlas Copco Compressors in the U.S.
So part of the family business acquisition was you. You were part of the deal.
I was part of the deal. Yep, the small part.
Small part. So because Atlas Copco is not a household word, how about telling us what the company is all about, how big you are, because you are a big, big company. You employ thousands, tens of thousands of people. Who wants to take that on? Paul, Robert?
I can take it. I mean, just looking around the studio where we are today, you know, you could quickly name 10 products that have been assembled using Atlas Copco tools or Atlas Copco compressors. So
really?
That's what we do. As Robert mentioned, industrial business-to-business company. So many of your listeners may have seen us on the side of the road. There's a lot of construction sites around here at the moment. So everyone, if you're in the car, look out for those yellow machines with the Atlas Copco black sticker on them. And you know that they were made right here in Rock Hill, South Carolina. So, I mean, it's such an encompassing business. I mean, every industry you could name we work in, from craft beer, you know, to wine, to space travel, to oil and gas, to wastewater treatment. The breadth of the products is truly something. We're 23 divisions, so Robert and I work for just one, but across the globe we're 23 divisions, 49,000 people. Roughly $13 billion U.S. in revenue in 2022. So, as you said, maybe not a household name, but certainly a big company.
So you do more than just compressors.
Absolutely, yeah. We have a whole business area dedicated to industrial vacuum, one that's dedicated to industrial tooling and assembly systems. So, you know, BMW, for example, a very good customer of ours, just not far from here in Spartanburg with a lot of the products. And then the construction products, again, made right here. So mobile air compressors, generators, dewatering pumps, things that go to the customer's site. They're the four major business areas.
So you don't really sell a retail product? It's all business to business? Is that how it works?
Yeah, it's all business to business.
You're not going to find your products at Home Depot.
You're not, but you're going to find thousands of products that have been made using our products. You know, maybe an analogy is we're sort of Intel inside in the industrial power world.
So tool manufacturers like Rigid and others are using your equipment to make their tools.
Absolutely.
There's a very good chance of that.
Yep. Wow.
The statistic when it comes to cars is that 3/4 of all the cars in the Western world are assembled using Atlas Copco tools.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a lot of cars.
So 49,000 employees all over the world. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people.
It is a big company. I mean, sometimes we say we're the largest company that you've never heard of. Okay, maybe that's more so in the U.S. We were started in Sweden in 1873, so we just celebrated our 150th anniversary. As a matter of fact, we had that birthday last week,
right,
on February 21st, and Paul and I were there. So our CEO and our top executives rang the opening bell in the NASDAQ exchange because we are listed in the Swedish, the Stockholm exchange, which is part of the NASDAQ. It's owned by the NASDAQ. So we had the honor of celebrating our birthday in New York City to ring the bell for the opening of the NASDAQ.
So I saw a picture of that. That was a big deal. I mean, you don't get to do that very often.
It was, and especially on the day of our 150th birthday. So we had a worldwide company celebration. Offices all over the world got together and watched that, and something to eat and drink and celebrate our birthday.
Not too many businesses last 150 years. Congratulations. Well done.
Thank you.
So what is it that we do here in the Rock Hill, Charlotte marketplace? I mean, your company headquarters for the company that you head up are here in the Lowenstein building, and that's a whole other story. We'll get to that in a minute. But what is it that you all make and do here?
So we have a factory on Paragon Road, so just on the other side of 77, just a little bit north of Dave Law Boulevard. And I think we have about 300-ish employees at that factory. And the main product there are portable air compressors, so compressors with wheels. And like Paul mentioned, you'll typically see these at construction sites. They're usually bright yellow. And we're one of the biggest manufacturers of those machines in the U.S. So we have that factory here, right here in Rock Hill.
Whew. Now, I know that you have a strong presence in that suburb to the north, I call it, just a joke, Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And what is it you do there?
There's a major distribution facility there for us, which distributes products all across the U.S., and we also have a certified refurbishment center there in Charlotte. They're the main two businesses that we have in Charlotte.
So between Rock Hill and Charlotte, you have about 1,000 employees, is that right?
About 1,000 employees, yeah. And I think the other key thing to mention when it comes to name are many brands within the Atlas Copco Group, so around 60 globally. Two that are very present here would be Chicago Pneumatic, that many people have heard of. It's a group company, part of the Atlas Copco Group. And then Beacon Medeus, that's a medical gas supplier which does great products and great work all across the U.S. in hospitals. They're in the headquarters in Paragon Way here too. So, again, really 60 brands globally, and in this area, 6 or 7 are present, which is great.
Shoo-wee. All right, so everything is going very, very well. How are you doing with employees? I mean, every industry I talk to, every business locally says we need people, we need people, we need people. State of South Carolina is crying out for people. They got 109,000 openings, and the list goes on and on. You're smiling. You have the same challenge?
I mean, we definitely do have that challenge. I mean, I think we've been very fortunate. We've been able to, for the most part, get the people that we need. We have a great team here in Rock Hill and really across the U.S. We have almost 400 service technicians. So air compressors are normally fixed on site. So we go to the plants, we go to where they are, and we do the service, the maintenance, and the overhauls on site. So we need this big employee base of service technicians. They're highly trained. and they're spread all over the U.S. And right now, I think we have about 50 openings across the U.S. So it is definitely, that's probably the sector that we're most challenged on as far as keeping up with the demand.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I'd say overall, I mean, we have a lot of things to sell about our company. The main thing is a lot of times people coming in the door, they don't know the company by name, for some of the reasons that we talked about. We're not a consumer product.
Right.
We're not a brand that you're going to see in a retail setting. But like Paul mentioned, we are kind of the intel inside. We're somewhere present in almost every product that you do see. But, okay, you know, if we're competing against a Caterpillar or a big industrial name that's very well known, then we kind of have to get people over familiar with our company and all the things that we have to offer. But it is a challenge. It's something we have to continually focus on to bring in, you know, the quality of employee that we're looking for.
Does the company see this same challenge worldwide, or is it just localized to the good old America?
Yeah, I know in Europe, Paul and I were just at meetings when we went up to New York City for the bell ringing, and we were hearing from some of our European managers that they have the challenge there, too. So definitely in Europe, I think in a lot of countries, the developed countries for sure, it's a challenge.
It's amazing what the pandemic did. I mean, it just flipped everything upside down. I'm sure you did the old shuttering down for a period of time when COVID was really red hot, but you still had production to be done, correct?
We still had production, and we were still doing service. We were categorized as an essential industry because we're supporting essential industries. So we were able, you know, at all times to send our technicians out to support our customers. Of course, our office people, we had to work from home right overnight virtually. Mm. So that was a big challenge, but we came through it really well. And, you know, our business was down for a couple of months only, and then it seems like ever since then it's just taken off like a rocket. And now the main challenge is, like you've probably heard before, that everybody's talking about is the supply chain challenges, that we can't get the materials that we need to make the stuff fast enough to meet the customer demand.
You know, you anticipated my next question, and you hit the magic word, supply chain. To make all the products that you do, you need a lot of raw materials coming from everywhere.
Yep,
and
we do.
Tell me, I'm hoping that some of your raw materials weren't sitting over there in a port in China someplace, in a great big shipping container waiting to get over here, and you're rattling your head saying, how am I going to get those containers over here?
I mean, I think the transport, definitely we had those problems early on, and shipping took much longer, and the containers weren't in the right place, and things would sit. We had stuff that would sit for 8 weeks, like in the Port of Charleston or the Port of Savannah, where we get most of our stuff. But that's gotten much better. I think the main thing now are just the different components that we need, like electrical components. Still a big shortage of, you know, semiconductors and various electrical switchgear and just different things that we need to complete our machine. So we're still challenged. We've made a lot of progress. We've added a lot of capacity. We've broadened our supply chain in many, many ways, but we're still not where we want to be.
So it's fair to say that you have probably more orders than you could fill right now because you got this issue.
Well, I would say it takes longer to fill them than a lot of our customers want it to take. But, okay, it is industry-wide, and, I don't feel like we're doing a whole lot worse or maybe in some ways better than our competitors.
But, I was going to say,
it's definitely an ongoing challenge.
Your competition probably has the same problem that you do. So when you work with all these different manufacturers that are buying your products to make their products, it sounds like almost every one of these companies has a specialized need of some type. So do you find yourself adapting whatever your product line is to whatever it is that manufacturer is trying to accomplish, or is it vice versa?
I would say we do both. We have a broad range of standard products that, I mean, have been developed based on what customers need. But we do get in, and that's with the smaller equipment. It tends to be more standardized. But we can, with the really large machines, sometimes we do get into, you know, more customized, where it'll be more of a one-off for a customer. But generally, we're selling from, you know, a catalog of standardized product.
And you told me this before, and I forgot. How many different products do you make?
The exact number would be mind-boggling. I mean, it's hundreds of thousands when you take all of the options. As Robert said, you know, standard products a big part of what we do, but then customization. And I think that innovation, you know, something we always talk about. So as a company, you know, $13 billion we talked about earlier, we always invest greater than 3% into R&D. And depending on the business area, 50% of our sales often come from new products, which is defined as products launched within the last 3 years. So the challenge for the manufacturers, for us, is to keep making them more efficient. You know, we know the rising costs of electricity. It's hit us in Europe and other parts of the U.S. perhaps a little bit more than where we are today. But the rising cost of electricity means that we kind of see ourselves as the custodian of helping keep U.S. manufacturing competitive by keeping down the energy costs.
So there's this big wave of enthusiasm, not me, but across the world, for electric vehicles. Mm-hmm. They think that's the be-all and end-all. Are you all involved at all with that, with the various manufacturers?
Yeah, our industrial tooling company, you know, which Robert and I don't directly work for, but we know them very well. I mean, absolutely. You know, as I mentioned earlier, 3/4 of all cars in the modern world are assembled, in the Western world, are assembled with their tools. So, yeah, that really is a lot of projects that they're working on for the tooling. And, I mean, that's, if I talk about the tooling, you know, I mean, that's the thing that's changed. It used to be an operator, you know, holding an impact wrench type product, you know, and assembling things. Now with critical fastening, it's measuring torque, it's measuring angle. Everything has to be fed back into a mainframe so they can look at the serial number of any car and tell you, you know, when was it tightened, who was it tightened by, what torque was it tightened to. So, you know, that level of critical assurance that they do there means that they're, I would say, undoubtedly number one in those. And it's given us many opportunities for compressed air as well, to be honest with you. I mean, robots use a lot of compressed air, for example, amongst other things. And, you know, to your point, I just say we've discussed as well, you know, the future and electric and hydrogen and different fuel cells. I don't think anyone quite knows where it's going for sure, but it's definitely led to some fantastic opportunities.
We're going to have to take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. These guys are smart guys from Atlas Copco. They picked up on this very, very quickly. We do fresh subs and salads here 6 days a week, between 10 a.m. and 9 p.m. Don't ever forget the 9 p.m. That's important. There is a formula for how we do this, and it's in the white letters, and we're all going to do this together at the count of three. Are we ready? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Gun, gun, gun.
Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Love our subs? Want to find the fastest way to get here? Just say, hey Siri, take me to Substation 2 in Rock Hill.
Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, and it gets 4 stars on Yelp.
Even faster, order online at mysubstationii.com. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Start your mortgage search with Founders Federal Credit Union. For a limited time, we're offering our super mortgage program. Save big with our super rates available on a 15-year fixed mortgage and a 7-1 adjustable rate mortgage. Plus, take $1,000 off closing costs with no discount point fees. And with no private mortgage insurance required, you can relax knowing your mortgage stays with us. Act now. Offer ends March 31st. Visit foundersfcu.com/superrates today. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing lender. Institution NMLS identification number 410646. Federally insured by NCUA.
When your health needs attention, you'll find compassionate care at Piedmont Medical Center. We make it convenient to treat emergencies with online check-in and locations in Rock Hill and Fort Mill. Or if you live with a heart condition, our cardiologists provide advanced treatment options to help you live better. And for pain that slows you down, a minimally invasive surgery can help speed you on to recovery. We are your community built on care.
PiedmontMedicalCenter.com.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
There are very few genuine money managers in America, and one just happens to be your neighbor. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see what a money manager can do for you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or go online to andersongriggs.com.
If you want to find the best subs and salads, tell Siri, take me to Substation 2 in Rock Hill.
Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, and it gets 4 stars on Yelp.
Even faster, order online at mysubstationii.com. Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, celebrating 150 years of existence. Let's put it that way. Atlas Copco, which is based, one of their companies is based here in Rock Hill in the Lowenstein Building. The company president, Robert Eshelman, is with us today. Paul Humphreys, the vice president of communications, and we're having a merry old time talking about Atlas Copco. Pretty good. So you've been here 150 years. Yeah. Is somebody within this wheelhouse of 49,000 employees thinking about how we're going to exist here the next 150 years, trying to figure out what the widgets are that you're going to need to do?
Yeah, I wouldn't say thinking about it. I'd say obsessed by it a little bit. You know, I mentioned innovation earlier, and that's so important to us. And then, you know, just while we were chatting, they're talking about sustainability. So, you know, the folks at Paragon Way had a huge foresight a couple of years back, one of the largest solar implementations across the group on the roof, providing, I think, it's greater than 60% of the energy that they use in the plant. And I think within Atlas Copco, you know, the thing that I personally really love, it's not cliche when we talk about the environment. We signed up in 2021 to climate-based, science-based targets when it comes to the climate. So we have a hard target for CO2 emissions, both in our own supply chain and also within our suppliers and our customers. I talked a little bit earlier about energy and our customers. So we've got hard targets for those by 2030, and the big difference is we've signed up to an absolute target. So, for example, if we continue to grow in the same way that we've been growing, knock on wood, we cannot use any more CO2 emissions. They can't grow with our company but being reduced as a percentage. They have to change in absolute terms, and so wow. You know, we're absolutely obsessed by the different ways to do that.
Good for you. You know, if the rest of the world would think the way you're thinking, we could probably fix some of these problems. But as I say on the air all the time, you know, we have this thing called the globe, and this atmosphere goes all the way around, and we can't do the whole thing here in America. It's got to be done India, China, all these other places. Anyway, so Rock Hill, South Carolina. How did you initially get here? Did somebody just put their finger on a map and say, you know, this looks like a great place to come to? How did that happen?
So originally, I mentioned Chicago Pneumatic a little bit earlier. So they originally moved their business down from Utica in 1987. And I think it was driven, you know, by a couple of things. You know, one is, I think we talked about it a little bit earlier, Manning, you know, that Rock Hill, they could see the potential that Rock Hill had. I've been coming here myself since 2001, and I mean it's unrecognizable pretty much, and also the workforce development. And you know, you mentioned Winthrop a couple of times, the local colleges. So here we really feel that we can get jobs where it comes from manufacturing, assembly, design, marketing. Engineering especially is really big. So I think there was about 5 or 6 choices back at the time. I wasn't here directly involved, but they, you know, they chose Rock Hill. They moved down, and then being part of a big company, they suddenly started to spread the word to other companies, say, we found this really, really good home in Rock Hill, great logistics, you know, when it comes to the airport and those sorts of things, just up the road in the northern county, I think you called it. So, you know, it offers us everything that we want. And I mean, the expansion over the last, certainly over the last decade, has been huge. And we were in Waterford Business Park for a long time. It's great to see the new company that's going into our old building, going to make some semiconductors down here. But the companies are still here with two locations, Lowenstein, you mentioned, and also Paragon Way. So
fabulous. What a story. So the headquarters in the Lowenstein building. I know we have a mutual friend by the name of Skip Tuttle, who probably got you involved many, many, many years ago with the building over at Waterford and other places. But how did this come about?
So we were in the building at Waterford. We had our factory there, and we had a big office presence there, my portion of the business. But then we outgrew it, and we wanted to build a separate building for our factory, and that's the one we mentioned earlier, the portable factory on Paragon Road. But then we needed a home for, you know, our corporate headquarters for compressors. We have about 100 employees, and we needed a home there. So we were looking around, and we hooked up with Skip, and he told us about, you know, this knowledge park development that was going on. And, okay, at then it was, I think, a lot of old brick buildings, textile mills, which is also very interesting for us because textiles is a huge segment for us. And, of course, it used to be a huge segment, and especially my business going back to the days when we were a distributor for Atlas Copco. We sold to all the textile plants around North and South Carolina. Of course, we know that many, many of them are gone now, but it was really, you know, kind of nice to move into an old textile mill, Lowenstein, and see it get redeveloped into such a nice office facility. So it's really nice. We're in the fifth floor, and we've really watched the whole park develop around. We were the first tenants in that facility, so very, except for maybe other than Skip, I think his office was there first, but then we took most of the fifth floor. We're actually getting ready to take the rest of the fifth floor in about a month, because we have our IT team, our computer guys are going to move into it, so we'll have all of the fifth floor. But it's been a great location for us, especially as much as, you know, so many options now for our employees, dining options, entertainment options, and now we have a hotel, the Cambria, that's right there, you know, a block away. We're getting ready to have, I think by the end of the year, there's going to be about four or five more restaurants in Knowledge Park, including the Epic Steakhouse, which is very good in Kingsley.
So this one's going to be better, they say.
That'll be nice. That'll be very enjoyable. So, yeah, it's been a great home for us, and they did a great job. It's still got features of the old building, like the brick walls, but then it's very modernized in the inside. So it's been a great home for us.
Then on the main floor to have the old replica of downtown Rock Hill with the train running around.
Yeah.
And the old Anderson motor cars that Gary Williams put in there. Wonderful. Well, gentlemen, I knew this half hour would fly by quick, and it has. I hope we can do this again, because I've really enjoyed this.
We'd be happy to
Paul,
come back.
Thank you, and Robert, thank you for being here. Paul Humphreys, VP of Communications for Atlas Copco, and the president himself, Mr. Robert Eshelman. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice. For conservative investors, you can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. These guys have just been wanting to do this one more time. I could just sense it. So they're going to do it. We're going to tell everybody one more time what we do here at Substation 2. It's called Fresh Subs and Salads, 7 days a week. Sorry, 6 days a week, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. That's right, 6 days. And the way we do it is in the white letters. We'll do it all together at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice.
Garden. We'll get these guys straight down
together.
Not quite. Better than
we'll have to practice.
All right. Thank you, guys. And that'll wrap it up. Bye.